You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're on a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, good morning. I hope it's a good morning to the vast majority of you out there, considering how the elections went just yesterday. Now, here in Nevada, a stunning disappointment. Harry Reid was reelected. Now, it's really odd because in the last 5 or 6 weeks, every statewide poll that came out showed Sharon Engel leading by a good 2%. And then last night, she ended up losing by about 4%. So there's a 6% swing. Very odd. A total of about half a million votes cast in that race. And Sharon Engel lost by about 39,000 votes. Very disappointing. However, the GOP, the Republicans, are charging voter intimidation. And they are looking for state and federal elections people to probe the allegations. Let me read the story to you. Republicans filed complaints yesterday, asking federal and state authorities to investigate allegations that Harris Entertainment, now they are one of the larger gaming properties in Las Vegas. Harris Entertainment intimidated and coerced its employees into voting early in an effort to boost the re-election campaign of Senator Harry Reid. Cleta Mitchell, a lawyer for the campaign of Reid's Republican challenger Sharon Engel, sent the Justice Department Civil Rights Division in Washington, D.C., and U.S. Attorney Daniel Bogan in Las Vegas, a three-page letter asking for a thorough investigation into the possible federal election violations. David O'Mara, a Reno-based Republican lawyer and operative, sent a nearly identical letter to Secretary of State Ross Miller asking him to look into possible violations of state election laws. Harris spokesman Gary Thompson declined to comment on the allegations. Natalie Collins, a spokeswoman for Bogan, did not respond to an inquiry for comment. Interesting. Miller said his office would review O'Mara's letter and see whether an investigation is warranted. As of 5 p.m., no substantial complaints of Election Day irregularities were reported, Miller said. Members of Miller's Nevada Election Integrity Task Force were holed up in a small conference room much of the day at the state's Sawyer Building using laptop computers to monitor internet complaints from voters. The allegations against Harris surfaced Tuesday morning in a National Review online article that reported the casino giant had stepped up efforts to get employees to vote early following a plea from an unidentified Reid staffer. Company emails showed that the Reid staffer informed Harris that it was lagging behind the Get Out the Vote campaign of MGM Resorts International. It was suggested that Harris supervisors pick up the slack and steer employees to early voting sites. Conventional wisdom is that a tight race, high turnouts tend to benefit Democrats. Now, let's talk about this MGM Resorts International. MGM Resorts is the largest gaming company in the entire state. They are by far the biggest in Las Vegas. I have it on very direct knowledge and that these allegations are true. And the allegations are that MGM Mirage supervisors were gathering up MGM Mirage employees, putting them on buses, taking them off-site for to buy or provide somehow, whatever, lunch for the employees, at which time they handed the employees a single 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with all of the people that the employer wanted the employees to vote for. Put them back on the bus, take them back to work. Guys, that is illegal. And if that happened, and that really did swing the vote, this could be huge problems, not just for Harry Reid, but the entire Democratic Party. As it turns out right now, the House won a huge landslide majority. They are by far the majority party. And Nancy Pelosi is out of a job as Speaker of the House, which means she's going to have to turn in her big, fancy, modified 757. I'm going to have to fly coach. You actually think she's going to ride coach? She's going to ride a board-by-number Southwest Airlines flight? Now, I'm sure she'll probably charter a jet to fly her round trip every week for the next 2 years, and then hopefully, retire. Anyhow, she is no longer the Speaker of the House. John Boehner of Ohio is. And the smaller Gulfstream jet that they provide to the Speaker of the House will easily make it to Ohio on a single tank of gas. They won't need to give him that 757 and all the expense that goes with it. The Democrats will still be in control in the Senate, even though they may not have an actual numbers majority. It's very, very possible. Right now it's 49 Democrats, 2 independents, and 3 Republicans. There are 3 races that are still outstanding. Even if all 3 of those outstanding Senate races go Republican, it'll be 49, 2, and 49, which would be a great split. Democrats will still be in charge. You want to know why? Well, because the president and vice president are Democrats, and the way things work out, the vice president sits as the president of the Senate. So there are some hierarchies that go on there. The Senate majority leader is leader. They are a majority when you have, there's technically 101 people that sit in the Senate. The president of the Senate, aka the vice president of the United States, only casts tie-breaking votes, which there's been very few in modern history. There's not been that many in history, period. In modern history, there hasn't been many. So since the Senate tends to have to pass by a 60-40 margin, you're not often going to see any sort of a tie. If you see 60-40, it passes. If you see it as 59-41, then it doesn't pass. All right? So anyhow, that's the way things work in the Senate. If that's the deal, what we're going to end up with is the Democrats are still going to be the majority in the Senate, which ends up being fine for me. I have said many times, I prefer to have one House of Congress as the majority and the opposite House as the majority, as a different majority. Because what ends up happening is you end up getting nothing through, and you and I, we don't get screwed. The issue right here comes out that right now, no matter how heavy the Republicans are in the House, which is a huge, heavily Republican House, what they're not going to do is they're not going to be able to override any of the garbage in the last 2 years and pass it through both houses. It's just, you're just not going to be able to see it. Such as Obamacare, which is the biggie, the real big biggie. But on the other side, the White House is not going to be able to push through an additional stimulus and go through more free billions of dollars, trillion dollars or more, sending you, I, and our kids for the next, I don't know, 10, 15 generations into the hole. Can you imagine right now, my great-great-great-great-great-great grandkids are already in deficit in this country, already in financial deficit, the way things are going, and so are yours. That's just the way things are. and they're going to do nothing but start getting their great, 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 great grandkids into deficit. I'm not even sure we've had hardly that many generations since this country was founded 230-something years ago. Anyhow. One thing we probably do not have to worry about, however, if the Republicans took control of both the House and the Senate, my predictions were that the lame duck incumbents that had been voted out but still had a little bit of time to serve in November, December, were going to pass through every garbage piece of legislation they possibly could. That was my prediction. Now, I don't believe that's going to happen now, because if they did, the Democrats would sew up their huge losses in 2 years. I don't believe we're going to see that now, but yet I don't see we're going to be able to repeal anything. But what I do see is we're going to be able to keep a lot of garbage legislation from passing, because you're going to have a hugely Republican House, a Democratic-controlled Senate, and a Democratic president with veto power. And there's no way to override a presidential veto right now with the new freshman people coming in. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, folks, welcome back. Now, we're speaking as we exited the last segment, so we finished that up, about how we have the Republicans in a strong control of the Senate. I'm sorry, of the House. And the Democrats will still be in control of the Senate, even if the three outstanding races still go Republican. It'll be 49, two independents, and 49. Now, I'll tell you what'll happen then. I'll tell you what'll happen is both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to do their very, very best to get a hold of anybody, either the two independents in the Senate or anybody else. The Republicans are really going to try this if they end up with the next three races, 49, 2, and 49. Republicans are really going to try. But the Democrats will as well. And then it's to find somebody that they think who is a senator, maybe somebody who's going to be outgoing as a senator, and try to recruit them to change parties, to become either Republican or Democrat. Anybody that can do that, just one guy, just one senator, will be enough for them to have actual real-life control without splitting hairs dealing with the vice president sitting as the president of the Senate. However, still doesn't mean they're going to get much passed. It really doesn't. I mean, we might be at a very, very historic moment. If we end up with 49, 2, and 49, I'm going to jump for joy. I'm really going to think that's pretty cool because, again, although we won't be able to repeal any of the garbage that the left has pushed through in the last 2 years, what we will be able to do is stop any other garbage from going through. That's just the way it is. Now, with all of these newcomers, all of these freshmen coming in, all of the, and as it turns out, it would seem as though between the House and the Senate, from the results I was looking at, and I might be incorrect on this, but I was looking at these results late last night, of all of the Democrat versus Republicans, there is only one Republican seat in the entire country, and that was at the House of Representatives, where the incumbent Republican lost to a Democrat challenger. Only one. Everyone else had either remained the same or big landslides of the Democrats losing to the Republicans. And we're talking big landslides. When the U.S. Senate loses effectively 10 seats, potentially, in a single night, when only 33 were up for grabs, all right? You had a third of the Senate were up for grabs. All of the House, every 2 years, the entire House of Representatives goes up for re-election, all right? So that's 435 people whose seats were up for grabs. And the Democrats lost huge. One of the biggest sweeping landslides since the 1930s, I believe it was. It was huge. However, we still got Obama in office. He's still going to run his mouth. The vast majority of the Democrats that he went out and campaigned for, universally, almost across the board, with the exception of Harry Reid, lost. It's no surprise, really, to me, that Sharron Angle was leading in the polls by 2 points, and Harry Reid won by 4. That's not really a surprise to me, because Harry Reid is dirty. He's just dirty. Right? They could have misaligned the polls. They could have done this voter intimidation. There might even be actual voting machine fraud. Then again, it might be straight up. I don't know. I guess I'm a bit of a pessimist, knowing the guy that I'm talking about. Harry Reid's son, Rory Reid, sits on the Clark County Board of Commissioners over Las Vegas. He was running for governor against a Republican, Brian Sandoval. He lost. However, that didn't seem to affect his dad's election. So Rory Reid will not be the governor. He will still be on the Clark County Commission. Probably will be for some time. However, his dad is, he did win his bid for re-election, which just drives me nuts. That's bad for the country. It really is. It's bad for the country. But again, as I said earlier, I do not believe that this is going to be an issue where we have all of the lame duckers in the House and the Senate that are going to pass garbage legislation, because if they did do that, if they do do that, it's going to be a huge problem for the Democrats controlling the Senate. That's going to be a big, big problem for Harry Reid and the rest of his cronies in the Senate. Big problem. If they lost the Senate, then I would imagine that all that garbage would go through, because it's a Hail Mary pass. Even though they would have been pushing all of that garbage through, it would have been difficult for the Republicans to actually reverse any of it. Now, if they do that, what they'll end up doing is screwing the Democrats who are still in office. They would literally send the Democratic Party back to the woodshed for probably a good 12, 16 years. However, I doubt we're going to see that. We're going to give you an update on the shooter at a Reno, Nevada Walmart after the break. So stay tuned. We're going to get to that. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
And welcome back. Yesterday, I told you about a shooting that happened at a Reno Walmart just last Friday, where an employee who I guess had been forewarned he was going to talk with management about his job the following day, that he showed up with a gun and shot three people and ended up in a six-hour standoff with Reno PD. Not the same guys that you'll see on Comedy Central, I hope. I think it was the actual Reno Police Department. SWAT guys were inside. Of course, they swept through the store after they took the guy into custody, blah, blah, blah. As it turns out, the man worked at the store and for, I think, like 9 years. And his goal was he wanted to talk to corporate. So here's the story out of Reno. It says, a disgruntled Walmart employee decided to, quote, take on Goliath the night before he is alleged, to have shot three of his managers and barricaded himself in the store for 6 hours, according to court documents released just yesterday. A probable cause declaration filed in justice court and first reported by the Reno Gazette Journal indicated John Galane believed the Walmart superstore in Reno, where he worked for the past 9 years, as his Goliath. According to this document, Galane intended to use two handguns to confront managers in an office and force them to contact the corporate office so he could have a dialogue about his unspecified grievances. Galane, 45 years old, confronted one manager at gunpoint in an office, according to court records. He then made the man call over two other managers, according to the document. Police say all three managers were shot Friday as they fled down a hallway. Two victims shot in the torso remain in stable condition at Renown Regional Medical Center in Reno. That must be new, because I lived up in the area and there was no Renown Regional Medical Center when I lived there 10 years ago. Anyhow, a third was released from the hospital after treatment on Friday. They have requested that their names not be released. During interviews with police, Galane said he had personal, financial, and work-related problems, according to the court document. He expressed frustration at Walmart management, specifically two of the men he's accused of shooting. The third manager was a man Galane said he liked, although the man was shot twice. Wow. With friends like that. Let's see. Quote, Galane stated he had almost not followed through with his plan because he realized he would go to jail and not be able to see his daughter and would be fired, the document read. Nonetheless, Galane said he determined to carry out his plan and then turn himself into police. Interesting. Galane, who worked in the store's receiving department most recently, remains in the Washoe County Jail on three counts of attempted murder and battery, and he has declined media interviews until he retains an attorney. Really? It's been, as of the writing of this, 4 days. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Had 4 days. If you want to include Friday, the day you got arrested for all of this, 5 days that you could have... You haven't... What? Excuse me? If you say you have financial problems, something tells me you probably need to go with a public defender, which isn't going to get you very far. However, you admitted that you went in there and shot these three guys. And why? Good for you. You're going to prison. And another broken family. Do you really think your daughter is going to be able to get through this in life? Well, yeah, I remember when I was a little girl. Mom was gone. And Dad worked at Walmart, and things were tough. But he did do something cool. Yeah, he went into his employer because he thought they were going to fire him. And he shot three of the managers. Yeah. And that's the legacy I have to live with my family. Do you really think you did any favors there, Jack Wagon? Really? I mean, come on. How about this one? A teacher kills himself at a school in Las Vegas. Western High School science instructor was found dead after the staff heard a gunshot. A 58-year-old teacher fatally shot himself 2 days ago, Monday afternoon, at Western High School in Las Vegas, part of the Clark County School District. Lieutenant Ken Young, a school police spokesman, said school staff heard one gunshot about 2:30 p.m. and school was not in session on Monday. The reason is it was Nevada Day. The state of Nevada became, every state, the kids get off and the local and state governments get off on that state's day, whatever day it was that that state became part of the union. Nevada became part of the union on October 31st, 1864, if memory serves correct. So Halloween, it's actually kind of cool because this is the only state in the union where the kids don't go to school on Halloween. And it's not because it's Halloween, it's because it's Nevada State Day. Anyhow, they observed that on Monday. Continuing, officers who reported the call on Bonanza Road, east of Decatur, blah, 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 found the teacher whose name was not released by authorities. We don't have any specifics as to why he may have taken the action he did, says Young, who added that it was fortunate that school was not in session at the time of the shooting. Well, duh, thanks for adding that. It's fortunate that the sky was blue today and not red. Okay, good, thanks. District sources who asked not to be identified said the deceased man is science teacher Michael Roberts. The district confirmed that a teacher named Michael Roberts, 58, teaches science at Western. He was hired August 12, 2009. So he's been an employee for all of, 14, 15 months? Young said grief counselors were at the campus Monday speaking to school employees. As you can imagine, it's a pretty traumatic experience for our staff members, Young said. Employees were on campus for staff development on Monday. It's likely most employees were gone by 1 p.m. or before the shooting occurred, according to district spokesman Michael Rodriguez. Staff development is scheduled again for today, but Rodriguez did not know whether Western would proceed as planned. I believe that there's no school for a couple of days that week. I don't know. Everybody's familiar with spring break. For some reason or another, a lot of school districts now also have fall break. And in fact, I'll tell you this. Traditionally, the school year is 180 days of the 365 days a year. That leaves 180 days where kids go to school, 185 days where they do not. So they're actually not at school more than they are in school. Several districts around the country no longer have their kids going to school for 180 days. It's more like in the 140s. Some in the 130s. Because the first thing that happens when the government starts outspending itself, spending itself into a hole, what do they cut first? They cut education. They cut education. To keep everybody stupid. Oh, you know, it's tough to pay the teachers to do all this, and, you know, we have all the expenses at the actual schoolhouses, and blah, 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 blah. You have no idea how to manage overhead. If you have no idea how to manage overhead, you start cutting school days. You know, in a lot of departments, a lot of school systems that are out there, you end up with a whole bunch of administration who does relatively little, and all of their jobs are secure because they're the decision makers. It's the students, the kids themselves, who suffer, followed by their teachers after that. So it's the low men on the totem pole, so to speak, that get cut first. Rather than cutting all these high-priced, do very little, if not nothing, staff at the administrative level, and keep a lot of things at the school level for the kids to actually learn. Well, no, we don't want to do that because we're fat cats. We'd rather have stupid students, stupid kids going into society and keep our $140,000 a year plus than to give up, you know, six or seven of us, add $1 million+ into the school network and have a lot more teachers and your students actually learning something. Ridiculous. Well, as it goes, teaching is not an easy job. It's really not, especially in a metropolis, in a big city like Las Vegas. Now, a lot of big cities have a number of different school districts. New York City has probably 20 different school districts in it. I don't know what the number is, but it's a bunch. In Clark County, it's one school district. It's actually like the fifth largest school district in the entire country. Certainly not the biggest city. There's maybe 2.5 million people in Clark County or so. So, I mean, it's good size in the county. But they haven't split it up into smaller districts, which should have happened decades ago. But they haven't. Anyhow, so that teacher takes a gun to school, kills himself. And this is not unheard of. In January 2005, a district teacher attempted suicide at Green Valley High School. The teacher stabbed himself in the abdomen in an empty classroom, but was discovered by a colleague, and he survived his injuries. So, interesting stuff happening in the schools now. The teachers are bringing these weapons in, which is just fine with me. It really is. It should be legal that the staff should be allowed to have guns and protect themselves and the other students from anybody that would come on to the otherwise gun-free zone and turn it into a killing field. Just the way I look at it. Now, Sacramento, California, the Sacramento County Sheriff is a guy by the name of John McGinnis. And I never met this guy. But all of the things I've learned about this guy, I don't really care for him. He's way too wishy-washy. He played a game of poker about a year and a half back, where he said, if we don't get the funding that we need, we're going to have to lay off probably half of our staff. And all of it's going to come from patrol. So that's going to drop our patrol down by about three quarters. We're not going to lay off the detectives. We're not going to lay off the administration. We're going to lay off the guys out there on patrol, the deputies on patrol, men and women who are out there actually doing the job. The men and women that are out there doing the job that the public actually sees and tends to encounter. All of us behind the curtain, we're going to be fine. And we're going to stop responding to the following crimes. And he lists a bunch of crimes that raised a lot of eyebrows. And that was a poker game to try to get the county commission to fund him properly. He's also been against concealed carry. The only time that he has said, all right, I will be more willing to allow more people in my county to carry concealed is if I lose deputies. Other than that, it's not going to happen. It's not easy to get a concealed weapons permit in Sacramento County, California. It's just not. Well, the Sacramento County Sheriff has now changed his handgun permit policy, authorizing self-defense as a valid reason for issuance. Keep in mind, California is one of these may-issue states. You have to go to your police chief or sheriff and ask them permission to get a concealed weapons permit. And self-defense has not been a valid reason, according to this sheriff. Well, here's the story. Sacramento County Sheriff John McGinnis has modified his handgun carry permitting policy, prompting two Second Amendment advocacy groups to drop their lawsuit against the county and its top law enforcement official, the sheriff. Second Amendment Foundation and the Cal Guns Foundation dismissed their cases after McGinnis changed, it says the law, but it's actually his policy, to state that self-defense is a valid reason to issue a gun carry permit. The organizations will, however, continue their legal battle against Yolo County and its sheriff in an attempt to change their policy. Quote, the Second Amendment Foundation will continue working with the Cal Guns Foundation and keep funding attorney Alan Gura's lawsuits in California until everyone's firearm civil rights are fully protected. Civil rights, it should just be rights, civil rights, according to Second Amendment founder Alan Gottlieb. McGinnis is retiring at the end of the year, but both candidates vying for his position have publicly stated that self-defense is a compelling reason for issuing permits. According to the Carmi Times, a big crowd gathered at an Illinois VFW hall recently to discuss their rights to carry a concealed firearm. Illinois is the only state in the union that denies its citizens the right to carry a gun of any kind, either concealed or exposed. Now, Wisconsin is the other one that has no concealed provision, but you are allowed to carry openly in Wisconsin. The news provider reports that only sworn law enforcement, certain security and detective personnel, as well as certain citizens making large bank deposits, are legally allowed to carry firearms in Illinois, which isn't very many. And you can guarantee it's not in the crime-ridden city of Chicago. Unless, of course, you're part of the internal group. Imagine that. Well, score that up as a potential victory for the people in Sacramento County. Sacramento County is a very large county. A lot of people live there. Up in that area of the country, keep in mind, Sacramento County does not reach to the coast. It is inland, but not very far. It's not that far off of the coast. So there is a large mix of very conservative people in the area, and there's a large mix of very liberal people in the area, all in the same county. So the politics go left and right and left and right. It's like a badminton game. It really is. But at least now we're going to be able to see until the end of this year when that guy retires for the next 2 months, that people can apply for permits. And if they actually push them through and approve them, chances are they might get them for this short period of time. But then the new guy coming in might actually take them away later. We'll see how it goes and we'll monitor this. Stay tuned. More to come right after the break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on.
Welcome back, everyone. I would like to thank everyone who went out and voted yesterday. Regardless of how you actually voted, at least you went out and voted. Now, it's interesting. My daughter has, her mother lives in Australia now, and she's 20 years old, my oldest. And she's back and forth between Australia and the U.S. As a matter of fact, she's just there. She's been there the majority of the last four or five months. She was back for a few weeks. She just got back this last weekend. And, she said it's interesting in Australia that if you don't vote, they will actually fine you. Now, I think that's a bunch of horse hockey. Unless, of course, you can actually vote for none of the above, none of the above, none of the above. By the way, I did that. It's interesting. There were a couple of different races in this state. And just at the county level, you could either vote for the one person on the ballot or none of these candidates. Well, none of these candidates received about 23% of the vote. Now, it's unfortunate that nobody else was running against him. It happened to be for Supreme Court justices, for the state Supreme Court. Interesting stuff. By the way, if you happen to be one of my Nevada listeners and you want to know about the results of all of the elections at the state level and every single county, you can go to silverstate2010.com. SilverState2010.com, and that'll give you all of the results for broken down by county, by candidate, by issue, everything. It's very complete. So those of you who are listeners in Nevada, I know I have several of you, you can go check that out. Interesting stuff there. But I want to thank everybody who actually votes. I would like everybody to vote the way I do because I vote for candidates that I think are good. However, that's not the way things should be. I don't press my views upon those unless they ask. Or unless it's really important, like this time with the whole Senate race in Nevada. We needed to end the Democrat incursion into our rights and violations of the Constitution. We needed to end that. And it appears, though, we've at least built a stopgap measure. It's going to be incumbent upon you, me, and everyone else to add pressure to those, especially the Tea Party candidates and the other conservative candidates that we've put in there that are all going to be freshmen, to stay true to the reason that they got elected. And for them to change Washington rather than Washington changing them, which is the historical way that things have gone. It's up to me, it's up to you, it's up to everyone else to have constant pressure on them for them to change the system, not the system change them. Thanks for tuning in today. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.